From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Altar of Witness. The text is chapter 22 of Joshua, verses 9 through 34. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had fulfilled their promise to go to battle with the other tribes in the conquest of Canaan. Their possession was on the east side of the Jordan, and with Joshua's encouragement to remain faithful to the Lord, they departed for their own land. Shortly afterward, however, word came to Joshua that those tribes had built an altar of their own. At first, it appeared that they were disobeying God in constructing another place of sacrifice, and the tribes in Canaan prepared to go to war. Upon investigation, however, Joshua learned that the altar on the east bank was intended only as a memorial to the children of those tribes to remember that they too were part of Israel. It was not to be a place of sacrifice. From this account, Dr. Cairns is drawing a parallel between that altar and the cross of Christ as a permanent witness to the gospel privileges and duties of God's people. The altar reminds us to battle against apostasy, which at its heart denies Christ's atonement. Also, God's people need to focus on that which unites them in Christ, rather than on their personal or denominational distinctives. At the same time, believers must remember that there is no unity except upon the basis of gospel doctrine. The Bible is clear that there is to be no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in a few moments. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Today's text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. The things which are not seen. In our Christian pilgrimage, it is well, for the most part, to be looking forward. Forward lies the crown, and onward is the goal. Whether it be for hope, for joy, for consolation, or for inspiring of our love, the future must, after all, be the grand object of the eye of faith. Looking into the future, we see sin cast out, the body of sin and death destroyed, the soul made perfect and fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Looking further yet, the believer's enlightened eye can see death's river passed, the gloomy stream forded, and the hills of light attained on which standeth the celestial city. He seeth himself enter within the pearly gates, hailed as more than conqueror, crowned by the hand of Christ, embraced in the arms of Jesus, glorified with him, and made to sit together with him on his throne, even as he has overcome and has sat down with the Father on his throne. The thought of this future may well relieve the darkness of the past and the gloom of the present. The joys of heaven will surely compensate for the sorrows of earth. Hush, my fears, this world is but a narrow span, and thou shalt soon have passed it. Hush, hush, my doubts, death is but a narrow stream, and thou shalt soon have forded it. Time, how short! Eternity, how long! Death, how brief! Immortality, how endless! Methinks I even now eat of Eshcol's clusters, and sip of the well which is within the gate. The road is so short, I shall soon be there. When the world my heart is rending with its heaviest storm of care, my glad thoughts to heaven ascending find a refuge from despair. Faith's bright vision shall sustain me till life's pilgrimage is past. Fears may vex and troubles pain me. I shall reach my home at last.
I trust in God through darkest night he fails.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. As I looked at this passage, I could see this as an application for churches and movements, but it also is an application for individuals. The cross is the medium for healing fractured fellowship. That's very clear in this chapter. The 2.5 tribes acted without consultation and built this altar. They weren't wise. That was not a good thing to do. Christians don't always do the wise thing. They don't always say the wise thing. And these people certainly didn't. Their action was open to misunderstanding. The conclusion that the 9.5 tribes came to was a perfectly logical and legitimate conclusion. After all, Moses had enacted clearly that there's only one altar, there's one place of sacrifice. So, what else could they conclude but that this was apostasy? The action of the 2.5 tribes was one that produced suspicion and it produced division. So they were wrong. Now their motives were right. Their intention was good. How often do you get that among Christians? That what a person intends is perfectly good, lofty, and Christ exalting. But the method he has about going about it leaves an awful lot to be desired. It's marked by foolishness, not to say fleshliness. Go back to this chapter and see that the suspicion and the division could only be dissolved by a mutual understanding of the altar. I want you to remember that. You see, in churches, people can sit in the same building. They can nod to each other or maybe even shake hands after they've listened to the same message. They could even bow their heads and their knees in the same time of prayer. And yet they can go out with their hearts a million miles apart, suspicious of each other, rejecting each other, in their hearts at war with each other, bearing grudges and bitterness against each other. What's the need? The need is to get humbly before the cross and see the stupidity of an action like that of the 2.5 tribes. But on the other hand, see the folly of jumping to conclusions like the 9.5 tribes. I said it was a good thing the 9.5 tribes sent some ambassadors before they sent warriors. We could learn a lot from that. There are an awful lot of Christians who are always ready to shoot from the hip. A lot of Christians who are always ready to believe the worst, to put the worst possible construction on anything that a brother or a sister may say or do. What is called for is humbly to get to the cross and there let the love of Christ and the blood of Christ and a fresh commitment to Christ, let that melt the heart and dissolve the suspicions, restoring the fractured fellowship. So the purity of the gospel's doctrine is the basis for gospel unity. We can put that negatively, and it's very important that we do that, that there's no Christian unity except on the basis of gospel doctrine. That's very clear in our passage. There is no unity except on the basis of gospel doctrine. That's the New Testament standard as well. Paul set it forth in the strongest possible terms in Galatians 1. He said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Now think of that. Paul is not saying, look, and there was division between him and the church in Galatia. He was not saying, look, let's forget our differences. Oh, no. He could see what was happening in the churches of Galatia was a major detour, at least. You'd have to say that it was setting off in another direction from the central message of the gospel. It was derailing the whole ministry of the apostle in the churches of Galatia. And therefore he says, look, if anybody preaches any other gospel, if he comes and he's not preaching the finished work of Christ, he is not preaching salvation in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, then let that man be accursed. There is no unity where there is not an agreement on the fundamental truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of it that way, you can see that the vision of the World Council of Churches is unchristian. You can see that the ideals and the aims and objectives of the charismatic movement are unchristian. Mr. Pentecost, Mr. Charismatic. The South African preacher who was probably more instrumental than any other in the development of the modern charismatic movement made the statement that to be charismatic you must be ecumenical. To be truly ecumenical you must be charismatic. But it's not of God. It's not a Christian thing. When you get people saying they believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, introducing a Roman idolater. When you get a person who says he believes in the sole mediation of Christ, and he, as I have seen them do, introduces a Roman Catholic priest who leads them in prayer to Mary and all the saints. Hey, you have people who are denying the central doctrine of the cross. That kind of unity is not Christian unity. It is unchristian unity. What can we say about the action of inclusive evangelism? 1955, I think it was. Certainly in the early 50s. Should go down as a black, black, black year in the history of evangelism in the United States and from the United States through the world. Billy Graham refused to go to New York when he was asked on the United Vote, the Bible-believing fundamental churches. He refused to go unless he could have also the support of the other churches, which were liberal. When he did go to New York, he went on the united vote of compromisers and liberals, and it didn't bother him that the Bible-believing churches could not, in conscience, go along. Inclusive evangelism took on a new meaning. It was not just including Christians who were equally dedicated to the central doctrine of the cross, be they Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, or otherwise. It now took on the meaning of bringing in people, whatever they believed about the Bible, whatever they believed about the person and work of Christ. When you could have chairing a crusade, a man who openly blasphemed the blood of Christ, you can see that inclusive evangelism became un-Christian. While God is sovereign and I worship Him and praise Him for every soul He saves by whatever means, yet I tell you, when the history of this century finally is written, it will be found that the evangelist did more to unchristianize America than anything good they ever did in their soul-winning activity. Let's get this. The purity of the gospel's doctrine is the basis for gospel unity. Let me make it clear from this chapter that apostasy from the gospel is a cause for war, not for fellowship. 9.5 tribes, when they smelt apostasy, they were ready for war. At least we can admire their fidelity to their God in this. Apostasy is not a matter for fellowship, it is a call to war. John says in 2 John, if there come unto you and any man that brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And then he adds this statement of basic principle: he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. He's saying you cannot simply go along with apostates, deniers of the gospel, and say, well, we are going along together at such a rate to such a place, but then I want to step off. You can't do that. You can't do it. You become a partaker of the evil deeds of that apostate. Paul said to the Ephesians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He told Titus in chapter 1, verse 10, that there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped. We must put a gag on them. Does that sound like the inclusivism of the 20th century? Does that sound like the lovey-dovey fellowship that we find masquerading as Christian love and charity? No, no. Paul, whoever had a greater heart of love among all the apostles than Paul? Whoever was willing to burn himself out more readily out of love for saints and sinners than the apostle Paul? But yet, he says, these people must not be helped. They must be stopped. They must be gagged. Apostasy is a call to war.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.